in Revelation chapter 22. Verse 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. To get the context, we'll begin reading in verse 6 again. This whole section, very, very rich portion of Scripture that we've spent a number of weeks looking at together. It really is an application section. The Lord has recorded for us in light of all of these wondrous truths that God has recorded throughout the book of Revelation, of the Lord Jesus walking in the midst of his candlesticks to bless and encourage his people and to clean house among his own visible church. And then we see in the book of Revelation that the Lord is at work in history, dealing with his enemies, bringing them to naught, bringing them to at least a certain portion of what they are devising, that the pit that they have dug, they themselves fall into it. And then, of course, the book of Revelation, in the last couple of chapters that we have looked at, paints for us this amazing contrast between the final day of judgment and the plight of those apart from Christ, suffering the eternal fires in the lake of fire, contrasted with the eternal bliss of heaven that Jesus has purchased and has in store for his little children, those who are trusting in him. And so please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very word, Revelation chapter 22, beginning in verse 6. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the very last verse in this book, we are so grateful that heaven reigns. We thank you that even though evil is very real and present, and Lord, we're painfully aware of that, even in our own lives as we struggle with remaining sin. You know, Lord, that by your grace, we do love you. But Lord, we still struggle with sin in our own hearts and lives and homes and church family. And Lord, our nation is reeling because of sin. And so we look to you, Lord Jesus, and beg for your grace. We beg that you would continue to come by your Spirit to press the gospel upon our own hearts, that you would come and be present in our homes, that you would come and walk in the midst of this candlestick, Lord, to grow us, to cause us to be conformed more and more to the image of you, Lord Jesus, the Son of God, come in the flesh. We ask, Lord, that you would come in your great mercy and patience and power, Lord, to save the people of this land, to spare, Lord, this nation from your fierce wrath that we so richly deserve. Lord, teach us about your grace tonight. Open this benediction to us. And Lord, that as we see this final word, that it would be our declaration in our own hearts and together out loud. Indeed, your word is truth. And that we would utter that prayer of amen. We would also utter the amen that you would come and make us to experience, Lord, these precious truths more and more consistently and to a greater depth in every facet of our being. And so, Lord, thank you for your benediction. Thank you for your blessing. We rejoice in your grace. And so thrill our hearts anew this night with who you are and cause us to delight in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray to you, the one true living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this closing verse is a benediction from our gracious Lord. We see the place of the benediction in Scripture throughout the Old and the New Testament. And so we should not be surprised that the very last verse in this book and the very last book of the book of Revelation and the very last verse in the whole of the Bible is a benediction. It is a blessing that God pronounces. If you'll turn with me, we'll just look at a few places where we see what a benediction is and why it is such a thrilling thing for God to bless us. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, we see that the Levitical priesthood had the responsibility of pronouncing God's blessing upon his people. These words of God that were a blessing were not just words, but these words were a prayer and a declaration from God himself that he was going to pour forth mercies upon his people. These words themselves were a blessing from God. They were full of power and grace. We see at the end of Numbers chapter 6, in verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them.'" And so when God speaks his blessing, it is not just words, but he is the one who has the power to give us actual mercy from his mouth. These words are words of power and of grace that are turned loose. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And notice the last phrase of verse 23 and verse 27 on both ends of the content of this blessing. We see the declaration, "Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them," and then in verse 27, "so shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." And so the blessing, the benediction, is a powerful, mighty tool that God uses to convey to us as his people his grace. We see in the New Testament there are blessings that abound. The Lord Jesus blessed the little children. The mothers brought their little ones to Jesus. And not long ago, Pastor Sam opened up this passage of Scripture. Indeed, it is a thrill to think of Jesus blessing the little ones. He laid his hands on them and blessed them. The Lord Jesus pronounces his blessing in the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Lord Jesus instructed his apostles and poured forth his Spirit as they were writing God's very word throughout the Scriptures. We see benedictions all over in the epistles that were to be read in the public gathering of God's people in these various congregations, and they are recorded for us. We'll look at just a few of them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we read, "Our Lord come, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen." We see in 2 Corinthians, at the end of that epistle, in chapter 13, verse 14, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." In the book of Ephesians, we see two blessings that we have recorded for us. One in the middle of the book, at the end of the section that describes the amazing work that God has done to purchase our redemption. At the end of chapter 3, in verses 14 and following, For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth and in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And then at the end of the application section in the book of Ephesians, we see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23, peace be to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Those are just a few. A couple more. In Romans chapter 15, we see a blessing that is recorded for us here in chapter 15, in verse 4 and following. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And then in chapter 16, in verses 25 and following, another benediction is recorded for us. Now unto him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, another benediction. In verse 20, and now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And then, of course, at the end of the powerful book of Jude, verses 24 and 25, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. And all of these blessings that God has recorded for us, that he instructed to be given to his people by the shadows of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament and by Jesus himself who has come in the fullness of time, these blessings are ours only in Christ Jesus. It is only in the saving work of God that we enjoy the smile, the blessing, God's favor to be upon us. And so the book of Revelation that has recorded for us these tumultuous events that the people in John's day were living in, of these two fierce enemies, of the harlot, the unfaithful bride of the Lord Jesus that had rejected her bridegroom and had become unfaithful to the Lord, who had run to the beast of the Roman Empire. These two enemies had conspired together, seeking to crush the very life out of the church in John's day. But the Lord Jesus sends this message in the book of Revelation to encourage God's people, to remind them that he yet reigned on high, and he was going to take care of them in his own good time, in his own way. As a reminder, just a little hors d'oeuvre of the judgment that was in store for the entire human race and the entire universe on the day when he comes again in glory to end history. These applications that we have seen throughout the end of chapter 22 and verses 6 and following now come to a conclusion with God's benediction. His benediction that in the face of all the tumult and struggle and difficulties that God's people would face, God's blessing is upon his people who are clinging to Jesus. And not only did the people who belong to Jesus need that message of encouragement and hope in John's day, even in our day, we need, in the face of the reality of sin, in the face of fierce enemies that arise against the Lord Jesus, wicked men and women seeking to conspire together to stamp out the very name of Jesus and to destroy God's people, not only in this nation, but the other nations of the world. Many of them, there is fierce persecution. Recently, I saw a testimony of a man who lived in the old Soviet Union. And in the 1960s, this man who was a factory worker began sharing the gospel. He remembered his dad as when he was just a young man, daring to read the Bible to him. And he thought, my boys are going to grow up and we're living in a pagan culture now. And I'm not going to allow my sons to grow up and not know anything about the living God. And so this man was a factory worker. He was not a preacher. And he just began reading the Bible every day to his sons. When he would get home from work, he would open the Bible and he just started reading. Well, his wife, she was captivated by it. Neighbors heard and they started gathering, and before it was over, there were over 100 people who were gathering in his home just to hear this man read the Bible and give exclamation. The KGB found out about it, and they came and arrested this man, and they put him in prison. They took him 1,000 miles away from his home and put him in a prison that was notorious for the most hardened of criminals. There were 1,500 men in this prison. And the day that Dmitri walked into this prison, he did what he had been doing every day. He began the day by lifting his arms and saying the prayer that his dad had taught him to pray. It was just a simple prayer of begging that the Lord would give him grace to love the Lord Jesus and serve him that day. And he, when he prayed that prayer out loud, the prison erupted. They were all open cells. And the prison erupted with rage, and they drowned out his voice, and they threw old pieces of rotten food and toilet paper and human waste, trying to shut this man up. They didn't want to hear it. And every morning, Dimitri would stand, and he would begin his day. And every day, there would be this outrage of response from all of these people. Well, the guards didn't want to have it, and so they would go and beat Dimitri over and over and over. And then the day came when they decided that they would break camp, and they dressed a woman up that looked like his wife and had her walk down past his cell. And then they tortured this woman to death. And he thought it was his wife, and they thought that will break him. And he finally said, "I'll sign your paper." And then that night, the morning before he was going to sign the paper, renouncing Jesus, they said, "Just sign this paper and we'll let you go. Sign this paper saying that you are a foreign agent and that Western nations have caused you to... oppose communism and to spout forth your false religion." And he was going to sign it, but that night he was convicted. "I cannot deny my Jesus." And so when the guards came in the next morning for him to sign his confession, he told them, "I will not deny my Jesus." And so they said, "Well, you will be executed." And when they were taking him out to be executed, after years of torture, all of a sudden, an amazing chorus started. 1,500 hardened criminals began to sing his prayer. And the guards were stunned. As they heard, the whole prison now had been transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't know the detail of whether those men had actually embraced the Lord Jesus, but at the very least, they were saying, "Look, this man has done nothing wrong, and we're standing with him." Well, in verse 21, the Lord reminded his people at the end of this book, in all of the persecution and difficulties that they were going to be going through, he reminds them of God's grace. In verse 21, "The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." Now, what do we mean by grace? What do we mean by the grace of the Lord Jesus? Well, there are two aspects of grace that it would be helpful for us to remind ourselves of. There is what we refer to as common grace. And we sang a hymn earlier in our worship service, Psalm 104, that reminds us that God is the one who showers gifts upon His creation. We don't deserve. No person earns food and clothing and rain and sunshine in abundance. But God graciously gives. The Lord Jesus made reference to this over in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, using that as an illustration of how we are supposed to treat the people around us. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" The Pharisees had twisted and perverted God's word. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And you'll notice up in verse 45, he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good. It's the same sun, the same blessing that he showers upon the evil and the good. That's why we refer to God's care in this sense as common grace, of God giving blessings that he is showering upon all mankind. Now, of course, those blessings are not appreciated or used properly in Romans chapter 2. And if you'll turn there with me, we see God making reference to these common gifts that ought to cause everybody to turn to God in thanksgiving and praise and love and obedience. But sadly, those apart from the saving grace of God, they take the good gifts of God in his common kindness, and they use them for their own benefit in a perverted way. In verse 4 of Romans chapter 2, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. And so here's the passage that shows just because God graciously gives people food to eat, it doesn't mean that everybody appreciates it. Here we have a reference to people taking the good gifts of God and using them wrongly. And because they deny the giver, they are storing up even greater wrath for themselves on that day. In James chapter 1, the Lord reminds us that everything that people experience that are good is a gift from God. In James chapter 1, verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so for the Christian, God has given us saving grace, and even the gifts that God showers upon all mankind are blessings to us because we acknowledge and see that they all come from the hand of Jesus. So there's common grace, but this verse particularly is emphasizing the saving grace of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. The all there is a reference to who the book was written to. And we could go back to chapter 1 and see it is a message from the Lord Jesus to his people, to the churches that he specified. And of course, it has application to all of God's people down through the ages. That's who appreciates the grace of God. Now, the grace of God is offered to all men. We are calling all men everywhere to repent and believe in Jesus. But only those who are touched by the hand of Almighty God, who are redeemed, who are quickened to life and granted eyes to see and a heart to repent and believe. It is God's converting grace. There's a hymn in our hymnal. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. The first stanzas, as a matter of fact, just turn with me in your hymnal. I heard the voice of Jesus say, it's hymn number 304. And people talk about how they hear God talking to them. Now, be careful. Be careful. How do you know it's God talking to you? Well, if it is what Scripture says, then yes, indeed, it is God speaking His Word to you. And you'll notice that in the first two lines of each stanza, there's a quote. There's a quote. And the things that this writer of this hymn said, he heard Jesus saying, Horatius Bonar. Indeed, that is the voice of Jesus speaking in Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and speaks His Word to our hearts. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your head upon my breast. And we could go and look at Isaiah chapter 40 and Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and we could find those very words of Jesus inviting us to come to Him. The second stanza, I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. We could go to John chapter 4, the woman at the well. That's what Jesus told that woman. And Jesus invites us to drink of the living water. And a Christian is one who has experienced this saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we're familiar with the grace of the Lord Jesus. The third stanza, I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise and all your day be bright. Jesus is the light of the world, John chapter 8. Jesus is the one who dispels our darkness. And so here we have now at the end of the book of Revelation, in the face of all of these difficulties that God's people were beginning to go through in the days when Jesus sends this message of His glory, His beauty, the book of Revelation reveals to us who Jesus is, that He is present, He is walking with His people. We continue to depend upon the grace of Jesus, not only to get us saved, but to keep us saved. What's going to hold on to us in the midst of all of the difficulties of life? You don't have to be arrested by the KGB and put in prison and tortured almost on a daily basis for years to need the continuing grace of God. Just to live in a pagan culture, it is discouraging, it's wearying to hear the Speaker of the House talk about how that Mother Earth gets angry and we need to pass this insane climate bill that's supposed to address inflation, which will actually make it worse, but that she basically was saying this is a form of atonement that we're sacrificing and paying back to appease this pagan deity. That's wearying to the soul. And what's going to keep us from just growing so discouraged and despondent? The grace of the Lord Jesus. to keep delighting in Jesus and to pray for Nancy Pelosi, that God would open her blind eyes to repent and run to Jesus and confess that there's only one Savior and there's only one atonement that can make things right. It is the blood of Jesus covering sin as God defines sin. The grace of the Lord Jesus, His saving and keeping grace. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Peter was going to face all kinds of difficulties. And Peter, in the face of these other disciples present there, Peter says, Jesus, all of these other guys may desert you, but I won't. And the Lord Jesus tells Peter, Peter, this very night you will deny me before the rooster crows. Three times you're going to before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And so in Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus. That Jesus is praying for us. He's interceding at the Father's right hand on our behalf. That's what's going to enable us to make it. That's what will enable us to keep standing in this day, just like it was in John's day. The grace of the Lord Jesus. What will keep us strong in our families? When we sin against one another, to have the ability to go to your husband or your wife or your children or a brother or sister and say, please forgive me, I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have done that. What will enable us to do that? The grace of the Lord Jesus. What will enable us to forgive? To say, yes, I forgive you. And for that wrong to be put away so that it no longer is something between us in our homes or in our church family. It is the grace of the Lord Jesus. What will keep us from growing weary and discouraged when we do stumble? What will keep us from doing what Judas did, who despaired of life itself in the face of his denial of the Son of God come in the flesh? The grace of the Lord Jesus. Jesus was praying for Peter. In the book of Hebrews, we have a couple of passages that remind us of our Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, here we have a thrilling passage, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. See, we have a living Savior. He's in heaven ministering to us and on our behalf. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's grace sustains us. It revives us. And the tools, the means of grace that Jesus uses, His Spirit takes the Word of God. That's the chief tool. And so if you want God to continually be refreshing you in His grace, then make use of the tools that God says are the primary tools that He uses to give and nurture our faith by His grace. The Word of God, prayer, gathering with God's people. In Hebrews chapter 7, we're reminded of this glorious Savior, our Lord Jesus. The former priests in verse 23 were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus that is with us as God's people. You can think about the providential rule of our Lord Jesus over all things for not only God's glory, but our ultimate good. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God is at work. That's what the grace of the Lord Jesus is all about. That God is guiding history and nail-scarred hands hold us. As we read in Ephesians chapter 1, he is the one who has been put over all things on behalf of his church. And so the blessing of Jesus is how we live. His grace given to us and sustaining us and reviving us. What will enable us to obey our mama and daddy when they ask us to do something that's not fun? Like do a chore that's not our favorite thing. Or do our favorite subject not. I want you to do your math lesson now. Or I want you to do your history lesson. What's going to enable you to persevere and to do with sweetness and say, Lord Jesus, help me to do this lesson for your praise. It is the grace of God. And so as we face life, this benediction, oh, what a sweet blessing it is. And the source of that grace is the Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. It is true. And amen, Lord, grant it to be our experience. Praise God for Jesus, for our great God giving us such a Savior. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the saving work that you have done. Lord, we stand in amazement at your kindness, your common grace that you send the rain and the sunshine upon the just and the unjust. Lord, we tremble as we think of even our own nation storing up wrath. You have blessed us with so many gifts from your hand, and we have taken them for granted and have perverted them and are celebrating wickedness, even using the very gifts that you give. Lord, we beg for your Spirit. We beg, Lord, that you would pour forth your saving grace upon the people of this land. And we beg, Lord, that you would begin in our own hearts to give us a sense of wonder and amazement at your grace, O Lord Jesus, that we would indeed, as the old hymn, that you would melt our hearts as we consider the price that you paid. And Lord, that we would indeed give ourselves anew to you. And so, Lord, we beg for your grace. Lord, those of us who have tasted of your saving grace, we praise you. You're the God of our salvation. And Lord, we depend upon you to keep giving us grace, to keep reviving our hearts. Lord, to turn our back on the world and to delight in you, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you would stir us up and make us hungry, Lord, to better use the means of grace in our own everyday lives, reading your word and encouraging one another, praying with and for one another, as we were reminded last Lord's Day. Father, we just praise you for your grace. We thank you for the encouragement that you have given to us in this study of the book of Revelation. And Lord, as we end looking at this benediction, how we thank you for your blessing. Lord, give us your blessing in Christ Jesus. And we say from the heart, amen. Amen. All right, let us.